Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Sometimes a man is gonna be ain't always so strong. Sometimes a girl is gonna be a girl. She don't wanna deal with all the drama in your world. God knows I don't mean to give it to you. Girl, I'm sorry for the stupid things I wish I didn't do.
Another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune, I took you a little bit back in time. It's called Sorry for the Stupid Things by Babyface. And we all have done some stupid things, quiet as kept. You know, but today I want to thank all my listeners from north to south, east to west, and all the ones in Hawaii, United States, the ones in Canada, the ones in United Kingdom, and also my special friend in Canada, Jim Sweatingham, and my friends in the United Kingdom, I am Moody and Mary Glasspool. It's good to talk to y'all on Facebook and some other ones. I can't remember all of you. Oh, wow, Miss Garcia, Debbie Garcia. I'm sorry, darling, I overlook you. And my friends in Nigeria and Cameroon, Africa. How you doing, Obi? Kevin Obi in Cameroon. And my friends in Peru and Pakistan, Pastor Asher Busty. How you doing, darling? And my friends in Australia, Wayne Ditchville. How you doing, sweetie pie? And my friends in France and Iraq. How you doing, Michi? And in Iraq and my friends in Singapore. So, you know, we're getting around the globe, but tonight we have a special guest. Some might know her if they're in the Columbus, Georgia area. And some might know her because she's a native of New York, and she moved to the Palmetto State in South Carolina, and then she went back to New York, and then she wound up here in Georgia. So some of y'all might know my guest tonight, who was the prophetess Christina C. White. But before I introduce her and get on her story, I have to say to my other co-host, Felicia Fewell, I know you're not going to be here tonight, and you might miss a couple of other nights because I applaud this young woman. She is going back to school to get her education, and it's never too late. So, baby girl, do what you got to do. Get in them books, and when you got ready to walk that stage with your cap and gown, call a sister. Maybe I'll fly in and be there to support you. But my other co-host, beautiful as she is, with her little risque self, with her little tongue out there and call herself Strawberry. We want to say good evening to Strawberry. How you doing, darling?
I'm good. How are you, my sister?
I'm good, sweetheart. I'm good. You know, and it's good to have you here. But, you know, our guest, Christina, she got a great story. Now, Christina, and like everybody else, we always tell you, once you come to Unmasked, you're always welcome to come back, whether you want to preview a movie that you're in or, you know, a song that you're cutting out or a book, you know, because my show is not for authors. So if you think that you got to be a writer, be on my show, wrong answer. All you have to do is have a story to tell, and we all got a story to tell. And I want to give a special shout-out to Pam Hovey and her family, because Wednesday, her grandmother of 102 years passed away, and I was just talking to her earlier that day, inviting her over for a 4th of July cookout, and I had told her how a friend of mine's son, the Holt family, son had passed away, but before he passed away, while he was in the hospital, they all gathered around, and they were singing gospel songs that he liked, you know, and it was just a peaceful way he just left out of here. Eyes was open, and the beautiful music, he closed his eyes, and he went on home to glory, you know, and I was suggesting that she do that for her grandmother, so I hope she had an opportunity to sing her home, you know, because, my Lord, to be here 102 years, that's a blessing, you know, so my prayers go out to that family who's grieving at this moment, you know, but because they're her parents are both of them are ministers, and she's a God-fearing family member herself, and her sister's a minister. They know that God can do anything except fail. And they know that we're only here on borrowed time, each and every one of us. So it's hard when someone goes home to glory because you want that spot to be there. You want to hear their voice in your ear. You want to remember those memories. And so if you got someone who's sick out there, this is my advice to you, and I know I might be overstepping my bounds. If you can, put it on video because you know something? When they go home to glory, you got a video that can capture the essence. You can see them moving around. You can be in it with them. So it makes the memories easier, you know, to deal with, you know, because a lot of us cry outwardly and some of us cry inwardly, but the pain is real. And there's another friend of mine as well. His dad name is Buster out of Nebraska. You know, please, all y'all, please pray for that family, the Moore family, because his dad, you know, he's in his middle, I think around about 87, up in that age, and he's right now he's not eating too much, and he's kind of slowed down, don't want to get out to bed, you know, and bless his heart, you know, he's a strong man, you know, he's worked the farm, he did a lot of things and raised his children. So a special prayer go out to the Moore family in Nebraska. You know, if you don't know how to pray, just hold your head down and say, Lord, please, pray for this family in Jesus' name. And always remember to put in Jesus' name because he's the mediator between God and man. And if you don't say in Jesus' name after every prayer, it's nothing but hot air. We got enough hot air people talking. So let me shut my mouth and introduce my guest. How you doing, Miss White?
All is well. Everything is wonderful. Everything is great.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, people don't understand how far you've came, you know, because like I said, we all got a story. But could you just touch on a little bit about what happened to you? Because this is going to tender people's heart, because when I heard your story, immediately my heart, you know, it just jumped, you know, because I felt like, you know, I saw her at a venue that I was set up at, you know, and she was talking about her life. Man, I wanted to run up there and just hug her. Didn't even know the woman, but it just made me feel like I wanted to cry. And I wasn't crying for her. I was crying for me because I was saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, because I don't know if I would have been strong enough to have survived what she went through. So, you know, sometimes when you cry, the tears ain't always tears of joy. They ain't always about somebody else. And sometimes you're crying because you got through something in the nick of time. It could have been you. Her story could have been you. Never know. So I'm going to let you share a little bit about your story, darling.
Well, again, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and was raised in South Carolina. And the majority of my journey, if you want to call it that, happened in South Carolina. A little town called Darlington. A lot of people really don't know about that town other than the raceway that they have there every year. They have a major race, and but it's right next to Florence. But anyway, the majority of my testimony, if you want to call it that also, really played the part while I was in South Carolina. And the life that was given to me, you hear I say given to me, right? Uh-huh. The life that was given to me took a toll on my life. You know, when you're a child, you don't have anybody to confide in. Even though you have your mother, you're kind of not sure if you can tell your mother the things that's going on with you in life, because being a Southern person, everything was quiet. Everything was private. What happened in the house stayed in the house. Nobody else knew anything. So whether it was close family or relatives or someone like that coming in, that mother or auntie invited in to be a family member at that time, everything was rosy, everything was fine, everything was peachy. And things that encountered in my life, you couldn't go and tell the senior people, the elder people, what was going on, because either you did something wrong or you was too fast or you brought it on. So you kept a lot of stuff inside, internally. And growing up, being young, you know, I experienced molestation. I experienced rape. I experienced being rejected by siblings. I've been experienced just a lot of trauma just growing up in life. But you know what? God was always on the scene. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what was going on, and he had a plan for it all.
And it took a long time. I am 47 years old, soon to be 48. And it took a long time for me to understand what the plan was. Why did all of this happen in my life? But when it was finally revealed, like the first book that the Lord blessed me to write, I can still use you. He can use us because the scripture said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel men and women to come. How can we go out there and compel them to come when we don't have a testimony? How can we go out there and compel men and women to come in when they think you've been saved, sanctified, fire baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost all your life? No, everybody ain't been like that. They didn't come out the womb like that. We've been through some things in our lives. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So if we can be right with ourselves, then we can be right with others. And
that's
how we draw people. That's how we draw people. We don't draw people with our nose up in the air. We don't draw people being standoffish and sidewinding. We don't draw people by cutting our eye and saying, no, not today. No, we draw people by the love that is in us and by the tests and the trials that we went through in our life. That's how we draw people. That's how we draw them.
And people need to hear that because, you know, people, you can't tell nobody what to do, how to fix their life if you never walked in your shoes. Just like can't
That's
no rich
right.
person try to tell me what I need to, what I should be doing. If you ain't putting that money in my pocket so I can do what you do, shut the hell up. You know, you can give me some
That's
money
right.
and give me some advice what to do with it, okay? But if you ain't giving me none, please, go on about your business because you are
That's right.
you're living good. I'm struggling.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That is truly right. And I just want the world to know, see, the thing and the problem is now is that the world, a lot of people, they think that they're going through. They think they're in it alone and by themselves. No, darling, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. There are many people out there that has gone through things and don't know where to turn. There are many people out there that's gone through things and don't know who to talk to. But you know what? I'm sure the lines are open, and if there's any questions that might want to be asked, I'm sure the line, sis, correct me if I'm wrong because I don't want to overstep on your show. But
oh, no, no, darling. If anybody want to talk to Christina, all they got to do is call in and hit the one key because we do have callers on the line. But if they don't hit the one key to let me know they got a question or a comment, then sometimes they're shy and they just want to be in the background, and I respect that.
Right.
So you got
right.
callers on the line, but you got to hit the one key to let me know you have something that you want to say or say to my guests.
But you're not alone. That's my main point tonight. You are not alone. You're not alone in this. No matter how old you were when it happened, remember, you did not do it. You did not cause it. It is the one that did it towards you, and you have to realize once and for all that you are not even the victim anymore. You are the victor. You have won. You are still here. You are still living. You're still breathing. And your life could be an example for someone. And that's where the second book of my title come in at. For my good. Let your past
mm-hmm.
be the fuel for your future.
Amen. Well, Christina, my co-host, bless her heart, she's so quiet, but I see she got a question over there. Let me let her ask the
yeah.
question. Go ahead, Stuart.
Well, sister, my question to you is, how do you really master actually having the faith that you have? Because even though everybody has their own way of praying and having faith and believing and stuff, how do you master your own personal belief?
Well, first of all, sis, and that's a wonderful question. I thank you for asking that. It's a day-by-day, step-by-step, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute, second-by-second journey. It
Amen.
Is. You have to do it at your pace. Can't nobody rush you. Can't nobody tell you that you should be over it by now. You don't know me. You don't know what it takes for me to get over anything. You don't know how long it's been on my heart. You don't know how long it's been dwelling in me. You don't know who the person was that was close to me that did it, that caused the pain. So you can't tell me I should be over something. No, it's a day by day, hour by hour, second by second. That's how you get over it.
Well, so I do. Go ahead, Strawberry.
One last question, yes. Because I do know some folks that have gone through tremendous things in their life, and even though they
mm-hmm.
take it one day at a time to get
right.
over what they're going through, sometimes they don't ever get over it. They will die still being hurt or still, you know, having that on their heart. So even though they're taking one day at a time, what's another way that somebody can really be healed?
You know, that's where a true Christian come in at. There's a thing called spirit of discernment. And when, like I said, for myself, I can only speak for myself, because I have gone through molestation, because I have gone through a phase of being a rape victim, because I have gone through feeling and been told when I was growing up that I was ugly and that I wasn't going to amount to anything, and the little town of Darlington, South Carolina, was all I was going to inherit. That was my place. I wasn't going no place bigger than that. Might as well get settled, and fear and torment, and I didn't think that I deserved anything, okay? So
right.
what you have to do is you have to find, because no one, we got to understand this, no one can change your outlook of you but you. No one can take you out of the hole that you're in but you. One of the chapters in my book is called The Enemy, not the enemy, because everybody know about the enemy. I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
the enemy. Our worst enemy is our inner me, the things that we won't let go, the things that are still harboring in our heart, the things that are still festering. Even the things that we think we got rid of, some of the times they're not gone, because someone can say something, you can see something, you can hear something, and bam, it's triggered again. For example, the Bill Cosby thing going on TV. Because I was raped by my children's godfather, and he put a roofie in my drink when I was on medication to where I didn't have any taste on my tongue, because there are medications that will cause you to not to be able to taste anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he drugged me, and I didn't know that I was drugged until the next morning when I woke up naked in his bed. So now
Ooh.
That the Bill Cosby trial is on TV, how do I know that I'm healed? Because that trial don't faze me anymore. When it first came out about a year ago, it bothered me. But from
mm-hmm.
the first time up until what he's going through now, only thing I say is you reap what you sow. Whatever comes out of the trial is what come out of the trial. It don't affect me anymore. That inner me in reference to being raped by my children's godfather, it is under the bridge. It is gone. He's the one that's going to have to deal with what he did to me.
Wow.
And I hope that answers your question.
It did.
Somebody that you trust. But you know darling, people don't understand that not only do you have a powerful testimony, not only do you have books, not only do you have CDs, you know, for to have CDs, if you wasn't talking, like doing audio books, then it's just, talking. But this sister can sing. So we're going to have this lady sing, and then we're going to go into a break, and we'll be back with Miss Prophetess Christina C. White.
Well, bless you. The title song of my first CD was entitled Beautiful Feet. How beautiful are the feet of thee that preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of thee that preach the gospel.
water. Then he said, come to Peter. How beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Well, if that be a song,
amen, amen.
Yes, we got to take a little small break, and when we come back, there will be opportunity to ask the questions about, yes, so stay with us. We'll be back too.
Real, unparalleled, authorist Terry E. Lyle has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a swinger. She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked Friday at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for he would not leave final
by Luther Vandross, and I want to thank all my listeners from north to south and east and west who is tuning in for me tonight on Unmasked with authoress Terry Elio. You know, I just have to say, you know, a lot of times we think that our problems are so monumental, but when you look around, there's other people that I would not want to walk in their shoes because they're going stuff. You know, but today my prayer goes out to those people that are grieving a loss, those people that are going through health issues, those people who are sick and shut in, those people who are homeless, and those people who are depressed because they don't know where to turn. You know, so I just got to say thank you, Jesus, because, you know, sometimes I think that I'm going through, but I ain't went through nothing, you know. And when I look down the road and look around, you know, somebody else's situation is a whole lot worse, and I ain't trying to walk in their shoes. You know, I just ask for God to give me the strength just to keep my head up and keep stepping, because I've noticed that when people are going through stuff, you got these people in your ear trying to say that negative stuff to you, trying to make you come down a little further, or trying to blame you for something that you haven't done, you know. And if anybody out there listening, if you're feeling the way that I'm feeling, if you think you did something wrong and you know you did your best, don't let people get up in your head. Just pray. And you don't have to be somebody that, you know, pray often, or someone who go to church, because God sits high and looks low. All you got to do, if you don't even know how to pray, all you got to do is hold your head down and moan, because he know you, because he created you. Ain't nothing about you he don't know. So he know what you're going through, and he know how you feel. And I'm just saying, you know, don't give up, because, you know, when you're going through something, just like when we have a storm, after the storm, there's a rainbow. When you're going through something, God got a plan for you. He want to make you stronger. He got something to make you help someone else out, because that's how it's done. What you go through is going to help somebody else, and what I go through is going to help somebody else. It's a chain reaction. So I'm just saying, people, don't give up. You know, I know it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you feel like all the weight is on your shoulder, but, you know, when you find yourself falling, and if you just can't get up, then get on your knees while you're already down there and pray, God, get me up. Give me the strength to get through what I got to get through. I ain't asking for get me down the road a week. Just give me 1 minute at a time, you know, because those minutes going to add up to, you know, hours, and those hours going to turn into days. days, and those days will turn into the weeks. So, you know, just take what you got right now and live in that moment, you know. But when you feel like you got to cry, you don't want anybody to see those tears, go in the bathroom. You know, people say pray in your closet. Go in the bathroom and close the door and just, you know, just free yourself, because sometimes when you cry, you know, it makes you feel calmer because you got that stress off your back. It's that monkey on your back. The devil wants to stay there because the devil will be riding your back, especially when you're going through something, because he done peeked into your future and he know your blessing is coming. But you got to go hold on, because he's going to hit you hard. The devil ain't playing with you. He ain't throwing no soft balls at you. He's throwing hard balls. He's trying to knock you down. So, you know, you better believe that, snow. So when you're going through something, gird up your loins, suck it up, and keep it moving. And I'm, you know, I'm just saying, but you know, but let me get back to my guest.
All right.
This is your thing, baby.
Amen.
You holding it down.
Just, I'll just be feeling some things, and sometimes when I feel these things that come out of my mouth, it ain't me just trying to say it. I know it's God
That's
making
right.
me say these things, because, you know, I got a tingling all in my face and stuff, you know, and this is real. I'm not, and the people know I'm a clown and I be goofing up a lot, but this is real talk, what I'm saying. I feel a tingling in my body, so I know it ain't about me and theatrics. I know God want me to say it, and sometimes you don't want to
That's
say
right.
stuff, because people say, oh, look at her, you know, one minute she a clown, next minute she talking about God, that I don't know where she at. You know, you ain't got to know where I'm at. God know where I stand.
That's right.
And that's all that counts, you know. So I just had to get that off of my chest. Whew.
That's right.
And turn this up back over to you, baby. Thank you for your song, Pretty Feet, Beautiful Feet, or Pretty Feet. I got confused now, but share what you want to share. Or Strawberry, you jump right on in there, darling.
So let me ask a question. Did you write that song?
Yes, I did. I did.
That song was so beautiful.
Well, thank
nice.
You. Yes, I did. Huh. We were having a foot washing service, a communion and foot washing service. And as I was down doing a foot washing for one of our evangelists, the words just came to me. And that's
wow.
how that song was written.
People don't know that in the Bible that Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and they looked at him like, "Why? What are you doing, master?" And he pretty
yeah.
much told them, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, I got to be the example. If I can't wash your feet, why should you wash mine? You know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, people don't get it, you know. It's always good to be in service one more time for the Lord, or be a servant for the Lord one more time, because you never know, your time might be up in 5 minutes. We don't know, because he's going to come like a thief in the night, and your clock might be over in the noonday. It might be over in the wee hours. It might be over late at night. But you know something, you got to make sure that every moment you try to love on who you can love on, you know, try
yes.
to clear up any confusions, you know, and try
mm-hmm.
to be a better person. Ask for forgiveness, because that might be your last breath, you know, because a friend of mine, Don Darjay, out of Mississippi, bless his heart, he went to sleep and woke up, his hand is paralyzed. He can't raise it up, you know, and they said he had a stroke, you know, but I know people have strokes, and I know usually because of high blood pressure, and it happens, you know, while you wake, but I ain't never heard somebody go to bed normal and wake up, can't move. But, you know, prayers go out to him as well, Don Darjay in Mississippi. Keep your head up. They talking about it's going to be a long road. The doctors don't even know why it's going to be like that. They talking about it might be a few years, but, you know, God is in control. You know, you just keep
yeah.
doing what you got to do. God can turn it around.
All right.
Now, tell us about how you became a prophetess and why you redid it after you had it one time, and 2 years later you went and did it again. What was you changing churches, or what made you decide to rededicate yourself again?
Well, at all my life, I've been called strange, been called different. People really didn't understand me, didn't want to be around me. Didn't really see what I saw, the things that I seen, the things that I heard, they couldn't understand. And my mother, I thank God for my mother, who's been gone for 32 years now. She told me, she said, you're different. You're different, and you're going to have to grow into this difference. People are not going to understand you. And I didn't understand it when she told me when I was 14, 15 years old. But it took years for me to finally understand what she was saying. And my mother passed in 1988.
Okay.
And 86. Daughter was born in 86. So 86. And my mother was a prophetess. But back then, they didn't call it prophetess. They just called them wise women in the country, that she was bold. My mother was very bold. She said what was on her mind. She said what she knew to say, and it came to pass. So the day that she got, the day that she was getting ready to pass, my mom had pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Did all of the maximum amount of radiation treatments back then in 86 was 54. She did 53 treatments.
Okay.
They gave her 2 years to live. My mom lived right at that amount of time. Well, the morning of, she was getting ready to go into glory. I was with her. I was in her room. She was in a private room, and it is in my first book that I wrote. And she looked up at the ceiling in the corner of her room, and all she said was, look at that beautiful white horse and that bright light coming for me. And
wow.
I looked up in the corner to try to see what she was looking at, and I couldn't see it. So I told her not to let her spirit depart from me, and that for her to always be with me, and she went on. So I knew from that day that her spirit transferred to me, but where I didn't understand the full significance of it until I really, really, really gave my life to the Lord and got into the Bible and started reading about the prophet Elijah and Elijah. And that was a double portion anointing and explanation to what happened in that room happened to me. And I realized what was going on. And, of course, when you read the scripture, it says that Elijah had the double portion, meaning what his mentor did, he did also, but he did double. And during my life, in the past 33 years, signs and wonders and evidence of the Spirit has been revealed and has been shown. God has blessed me to and use me, because it's not me. I claim nothing, but he has used me and blessed me to bring a dead man back to life, to open up someone's blinded eyes, to open up someone's deaf ears. So those are in the book with testimonies, with documentation. So with being a prophetess was not my calling. It was given to me. So, and I'm the type of person, I don't tell people when I meet them I'm a prophetess. You shouldn't have to toot your horn or wave a flag or introduce yourself as such and such and such. No, your life speaks for you.
Exactly.
So that's.
So, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
But no, you're fine.
What you were saying, it flawed me for a minute, because you were actually in the same room when your mother passed. Like, you actually saw her pass?
Yes, I did.
That didn't scare you?
No. That was my mother.
Wow.
If anything, Strawberry, what she could have felt was just sadness because her mom has passed on. But you will find out. I don't know if you've been exposed to someone who's passed on while you was there, because as an ex-paramedic, I've seen that myself. But a lot of times, if you know the person, it's just sadness, and you know, your stomach feel like, you know, something just drops, you know, and you just feel it. Overwhelmed, you know, your chest might sometimes feel tight. You feel sad, and then you cry because you're not afraid of who you love. You know, and, you know, so it wouldn't scare you. So if it ever happened to you, don't worry about that. It's not going to be the reaction that you think, you know, that that's going to happen. But we got about 15 minutes left.
Well, with that morning, it wasn't a sadness. It was, to me, at the age of 16, I wanted to go with her because of what she saw. Because what I was living down here on earth in Brooklyn, New York at the time, because that's where she passed at, in Brooklyn, New York, at St. Mary's Hospital on Buffalo Avenue in Brooklyn, New York, I remember it just like it was today. When she said those words, I wanted to go with her because what she saw was more beautiful and glorious than what was experiencing then.
I can't blame you. I can't blame you. And, you know, it took me a long time to understand because before when I was young and naive, I used to always be afraid of death. But as I got older and more mature, I'm not afraid to die. I am just afraid of the mechanism of death. I don't want to die with somebody's having me chained up in their basement for months or years.
Come on.
I don't want nobody to beat me or torture me. Let me go in my sleep because I'm ready to go because what people don't understand is being with Jesus is a whole lot better being surrounded by love and everything else and then body transformed to the better you than being down here and have to deal with drama and the stuff that people kick out, you know. So, I almost died several times, but the only reason why I think I stayed because I was feeling a sensation where I could see my body and I was, like, breathing a certain kind of way. I felt like I was rising up. But the only reason why I said, no, stop, before I go away and can't come back into my body is because I was concerned about leaving my mother. You know, I didn't want to leave her alone to cry for me, you know. So I wanted to go many times, but I did not because I wanted to be here for my mother. You know, so I understand clearly, Christina. So, darling, let everybody know about your books and how much they cost, how they can get a hold of you and all that other good stuff.
Yes, my books are entitled, the first one was written and published in 2014, entitled I Can Still Use You. This book is basically a testimony of my life and just letting the world know through scripture and through my life the glorious nature of what God has brought me through. And that even though I went through it, and you hear I said went through it and came out on the other side, he can still use me. And he can still use you, listeners, viewers. He can still use you. Don't allow anybody to tell you that you are not worthy. Don't allow anybody to tell you that the things that you've been through in your life will not aid you in any kind of way. Yes, it will. It will. And most of all, it will assist you to go further in your life. That is the first book, I Can Still Use You. This book is $10. I will give the address for purchasing. The second book, just hot off the press, 2 months old, is entitled For My Good, Let Your Past Be the Fuel for Your Future. I received this title while I was at a women's conference. And I was like, let my past be the fuel for my future. Everybody's telling us when we save, we need to forget our past. No, we can't forget our past. That's the problem now. When people think that they can forget their past and they can keep on going forward, then they forget who they was and how they got where they got to.
Exactly.
Okay. It's not the point that we want to stay back where we came from, no. But we cannot forget what brought us to the point that we are now, that made us stronger, that made us bolder, that made us go higher, that made us want to help and compel people. I Can Still Use You for My Good. Let Your Past Be the Fuel for Your Future. One thing that I wrote in my book about the second book, no matter how advanced an automobile gets, with radars and backup bumpers. According to the law,
cameras,
every
all this
automobile,
stuff.
Yes, and cameras, every automobile, according to the law, has to have a rearview mirror in the car, or that
That's
car
right.
will not pass.
Wow.
So when people tell you to stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life, it's because they are ashamed of what happened to them, or possibly they still living in their past. They still doing
exactly.
the things that they claim they're not doing. My past don't have control of me. My past don't hold me hostage. One thing that I truly believe and that I will stand on, no one will ever have anything to hold over my head to where I can't be a service to the gospel, to be able to help people, to be able to talk to people, to be able to love on people, because that's what we need now. That's what the world needs is love.
Amen, we need
that's
it.
That's what the world needs is love. We are in perilous times. We are in troubled times. When you flick on the TV, you flick on the radio, you talk to somebody, something going on. This world needs love. And all of the anger and all of the hatred and all of the animosity and all of the strife and bitterness that is going on, that's causing the pain, the suffering, and the torment and the terrorism that's going on in the world, it's because of lack of love. And when we can get
that's
this
right.
love thing situated, I think this place called the earth, called the world, would be a better place. You could, if you desire to, each book is only $10 because I just want the word to get out. I just want people to read the books to know that they are not alone, that they are not by themselves. And if you desire to purchase, of course, you can contact my dear sister, Sister Lyles, and she
That's
can also
right.
forward you the information. But you can send $10, it's just $10, to P.O. Box 563 Cusseta, that's C-U-S-S-E-T-A, Georgia, 31805. And you can put my name, Prestina, that's P-R-E-S-T-I-N-A. Middle initial is C, last name is White Like the Color. And I will tell you, you will be blessed because the
Amen.
Word will accomplish everything that it is sent out to do. All of the readers, all of the people who have purchased, who have double purchased, purchased for friends, who have purchased for families, who have purchased for companies that are therapeutic and psychological, who are purchasing these books, they are helping their clients, they are helping their friends, they are helping their family members, because when they get in the book and they see that someone's been through it and they are healed from it, it makes them better. It makes them feel that they can be healed also.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, Prestina, it's been a pleasure having you here. And you know all you got to do is get in my ear and say, Terry, I want to come back. You know, I want to discuss this or yada, yada, yada. Or you want to say what's going on at your church. And, you know, I got you, baby.
Well, since you threw that out there, Sid, I attend your Kind of Glory Worship Center.
Okay.
5878 Morningside Drive, Columbus, Georgia, 31903. And we are getting ready to go into a spiritual boot camp. We're
All
going
right,
to be
girl.
Having it. Yes, we're going to be having it July the 13th through the 15th, 2017, in Peachtree City, Georgia.
Everybody out there listening,
so I'm going to
let her give that address again. And if you got a phone number for them, give them a phone number as well, darling. Say that one more time.
Yes. We're going to be having spiritual boot camp in Peachtree City, Georgia, 30269, July the 13th through the 15th, 2017. And if you would like more information, you can contact our church at 706-563-3871. and just let them know that Sister White informed you of it. And we would love to have you come.
Amen. And everybody out there, this is a Friday evening. I want to make sure if you're out there drinking, if you're in this neck of the woods, we've been having a lot of rain, please be careful. Make sure your brakes are working before you're trying to stop on a dime and the roads are wet. And when the roads are wet, the oil comes up, so just be mindful.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. And if you got nothing to do and nowhere to go on Sunday, find a house of worship. Just go on in. You can hide in the back if you want to, but go in and meet the King Jesus, you know. Find a house of worship. We got too many churches that don't have that many people in it. You know, we got more churches than we have anything else, and they're empty. Fill them up. Take somebody. You ain't got to sit in that bed watching TV trying to get your ministry on TV. If your legs work, get your butt up and find a church and get up in it. And I'm so sick of that.
Yeah.
But we just like to thank you, sis, for being here. And I just want to thank you and tell you, don't forget, you got my number. Call me, let me know what's going on. And we're going to take this little party home. And I appreciate you for being here. And I want to say good night to you and good night to my beautiful co-host, Strawberry. And we're going to take it home with a song by Gerald LaVert, rest in peace, I Was Made to Love You. Like, I'm made to love you, girl.
That's right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, darling.
Good night, Sister Strawberry.
Good night.
I recall when we first met a long time ago. How could I forget the way I felt when I first laid eyes on you? I remember saying to my friends, there is my future wife, and then I took the step to meet someone who would change my life. It had to be my destiny, 'cause I was made to love you, my hands to touch you, my arms to hold you, my legs to stand, my time to spend with you forever. I was made to love you, my lips to kiss you, my eyes to see you,
my legs to stand, my time to
spend with you forever and ever. First break up and make up that got us to this moment.